Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
So today we are in week two of our important sermon series called Being Christian During a Heated Election. And remember, the reason we're doing this is not because I like talking about politics. Now again, I'm quite aware that anytime I talk about politics in this day and age, I could be putting my job on the line. And yet, given that risk, the reason I put this series together is because I really do believe that this is a message we all desperately need to hear to help our country thrive, instead of continuing down the path that we're currently on, which, as you all know, is nothing short of a dumpster fire. And yet again, please know, before you decide to get up and walk out because we're going to talk about politics, let me be very clear. At no point during this series am I going to tell you who to vote for or what to think in regards to your politics. That's between you and God, and I hope you take it very seriously because it is a serious matter. Instead, what I want to show you, regardless of what side you belong to, is how to be Christian. How not to get caught up in all the nastiness that our politics have become, only making things worse. So in turn, we really can become the people who act as light in our country, helping to show everybody a better way forward. So you guys ready for week two of watching me go down in flames, anybody? I better not hear an amen on that one. So last week, and to set the foundation for this series, we turn to Micah 6:8. And the reason we turn to Micah 6:8 is because in this foundational teaching of the Old Testament, not only do we find an important teaching regarding what the Lord requires of us in every part of life, but we also find an easy-to-memorize paradigm regarding how we should be acting as Christians in the midst of all that our politics have become. And what Micah teaches us about what God wants is very, very simple, right? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Again, because I really want you to get this. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Or very, very simply put, what Micah is telling us about what God requires is he requires us to be just, to be kind, and to be humble. And again, I want you guys to say this with me a couple of times so I know you get it. Ready? Be just, be kind, be humble. Okay, so now you got it. I want you to say it like you mean it. Be just, be kind, be humble. Ultimately, what I want is for this to become our mantra. Anytime we're dealing with politics these days, what I want to come to the back of your mind is be just, be kind, be humble. Because I think, as you're going to see, it'll make a huge difference not only in your life, but in the lives of those around you. Now, the way we got into this teaching last week was by exploring what it means to be just, or how it is God has called all of us to be a people who stand and fight for what we believe is right. And what we learned about doing justice last week is that for Jesus, justice always looks like love. That's right. For Jesus, justice always looked like love, or the wanting and working towards the mental, physical, and spiritual well-being of others, where we give ourselves to fighting for those important issues that we believe are the best thing for this country. That is foundational to who we are. We've got to continue to do it. But what we also learned last week is that for the most part, as a country, we're actually pretty good, at least in one sense, of doing justice. Or are the kind of people who do take a stand and fight for what we believe in. And to see this, all you have to do is turn on the TV, get online, because what you're going to find are people on both sides passionately fighting for what they believe is the best, most loving thing to do for this country. But the problem with that, which I also hinted at last week, is because we've gotten so good at standing up for what we believe in, we have neglected the two other things that the Lord requires, which are kindness and humbleness. Or it seems to me that in the midst of giving ourselves to doing what we believe is right, we have forgotten that not only does God call us to do that, to call us to be just, but he also calls us to be kind and humble as well. The result being, when you think about it, is exactly what we see playing out in our country at this very moment as we, because we have neglected kindness and humbleness, continue to split the country right down the middle, making an already difficult situation downright dangerous. So this morning, what we're going to be doing in an attempt to do what it is that the Lord requires of us is while keeping God's command to be just in mind, because we can never neglect that, we're also going to be exploring how we are being called to be kind to one another, or how it is actually possible to be just and to be kind at the exact same time. So for me, the best way to begin to make sense of how kindness should work in our current political climate is to think about the relationship that exists between the Democrats and the Republicans as a kind of marriage. And the reason I say that is because unless you're for the establishment of two different countries, whether you like it or not, we're in this thing together. Neither side is going anywhere anytime soon. Then to add to that, just like in marriage, a man and woman, even though they're going to agree on some foundational things, oftentimes also disagree on a whole lot of stuff, which of course is why marriage is so fun and enjoyable all the time, right? Well, I would say very similar to what we find happening in our country between the two major parties, in that the truth is both sides actually agree on a whole lot more stuff than they disagree on, but they never talk about that because they all agree, right? But at the same time, there is no doubt there's some significant disagreements that need to be worked out. But now that you're thinking about our two-party system in terms of a marriage, what I want you to do next, because I really think this brings everything to light, is think about what happens in those marriages where being right or being just is what's most important for both spouses. Or a relationship where being right always trumps kindness and humbleness. Well, in speaking from personal experience on this one, and my wife is going to love this one. If you guys want to, look over and she's going to turn beet red over here. So everybody look over there. Look at her. Isn't she the most beautiful thing in the world? So what I can tell you about the times in our lives where we have both put our foot down because we're both as hard-headed as they can, it's what I love about her, is she's that way, is not only did our marriage suffer in some big ways, causing this horrible tension just to come in and take over our lives, but the truth is, when we get into those kind of disagreements, everyone, including our girls, they feel that, right? It's not good for the household. It's even the case that on occasion that we actually get to the place where we stop treating each other as partners and as friends and as lovers. You know, I picked her. I wanted her. And we start treating each other as enemies, with the goal being to win at all costs, no matter what it might do to our marriage. Or how many of you married people, if you get really honest with yourselves, might just know this place? I got one person raising their hand. If you didn't raise your hand, you're either a liar or you haven't been married long enough, because it is going to happen. It's just the nature of relationship. So with that being said, what I would like for all of you to consider is that what's going on in our country at this very moment as this divide grows by the day is what we are experiencing is in a sense very similar to what happens in marriages where being right is not being balanced out with any kind of kindness, which is something that is not only affecting those in power, but something that is also affecting their children as well. And what I mean by, or who I mean by children here, I'm talking about us as the citizens of this great country. Or how many of you are sick and tired of living with this tension because our parents are fighting all the time? Anybody? How many of you are tired of living in this dysfunctional household where hatred has come in and just taken over? Right? I think we're all tired of that. So what I think we should be doing as Christians to begin to help to solve this problem is, instead of being a people who are only about being right and being just, it's also about time that we started to listen to God regarding what he requires by adding some kindness back into the mix. What do you say? Because married people, as you know, one of the only things that can save those marriages that are in gridlock over a disagreement is when, in spite of their disagreement, one of them chooses kindness, or one of them, in the midst of the heat and tension, chooses to stop fighting or treating their spouse like an enemy and instead treats them as a person they love and care for who just happens to see the world differently. Because the truth is, marriage shows us that it's clearly possible to live with and get along with someone you disagree with. And it's even possible for people, even though they're never going to see eye to eye on something, to sit down and work things out, to make compromises, or to do whatever it takes for them to exist together, right? Not just existing and being and putting up with each other, but actually to thrive together. And the reason I know this is because for the last 17 years, my wife and I have had a whole lot of disagreements. There was 4 or 5 this week. Many of which we still don't see eye to eye on, right? And then I can honestly tell you, and this is huge brownie points for me. You guys ready for this? I love her more now than I did the day we got married. Right? I love her more now than the day we got married, even if some days I wish she'd do a better job of seeing how right I am most of the time. And I say that because that's what we all think. That's what we all think to ourselves. But now that you're beginning to see why God is calling us not just to be just, but to be kind as well, to help you see how this can actually work in the real world, or to see how it really is possible to be just and kind at the same time, let me tell you about this strange yet wonderful friendship that developed between two Supreme Court justices who basically were in disagreement on almost every major political issue the court faced in their time together. I mean, it's just this absolutely amazing story. So, on the conservative side, you have Justice Antonin Scalia, who was nominated to the Supreme Court by Ronald Reagan in 1986 and served for about 30 years. And what you need to know about Scalia is he was about as conservative as they come. Or if you want to know what Scalia was all about, just think about some of the major issues we're facing today and how you think a conservative would respond, and there you have it, at least in a sense. It's way more complicated than that, but in a sense, that's where you're going to find him. Then on the other side, you have Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the notorious RBG. And what you need to know about Ginsburg is she was nominated by President Clinton in 1993, serving until her death in 2020. And in a sense, when it came to the major political issues of the day, she was on the exact opposite side of Scalia in every way, being someone who spent most of her life fighting for gender equality, civil liberties, and the rights of the marginalized. Or just like with Scalia, in regards to the many disagreements we're having today, to get to know who Ginsburg was, think about how a liberal would answer a particular question, and you're going to find her falling in that place. So, given that these two individuals basically represent two different political ideologies in America, and given our current state of making people we disagree with our enemies, what you would expect between these two is that they would hate each other. Right? They would hate each other. Not only would they hate each other, but because they sit on the same court, they would be rivals and enemies in almost every way. That's the way it works most of the time. But here's the thing. That's not how it worked for them. Right? It's not how it worked for them. No, they were actually so close that not only did their families get together to hang out on occasion, but they also went on vacation together. Can you imagine inviting another family to go on vacation with you? You got to be pretty close on that stuff. These two giants of our justice system, who should have been enemies because of their political beliefs, were actually great friends who even tried to help one another on court cases where they're on opposite sides. In fact, these two were so close that after Scalia's sudden death in 2016, Ginsburg was invited to take part in Scalia's funeral service. She was one of the speakers. And to get how crazy that is in this day and age, imagine Trump speaking at Biden's funeral. Or Biden speaking at Trump's funeral. It's almost laughable. And yet, here these two are on opposite sides, and they still love and care for one another. Absolutely amazing. Now, of course, when it came to their beliefs, there's no doubt neither Ginsburg nor Scalia was willing to compromise on almost anything, always taking a hard and unwavering stand for what they thought was just, again, causing them to land on almost opposite sides most of the time. And yet, they were still great friends who not only held each other in high regard, but they actually loved and cared for one another. Or what I want you to notice about this amazing relationship that in our time and place doesn't seem possible is that even though both of them were unwavering when it came to what they believed was right, or they were unwavering in their quest for justice, they were also very, very good at being kind to one another, showing us that it really is possible to be friends with and respect those people you disagree with. Or to take you even deeper into how these two were able to do this in our current political climate, let me share with you the response that Scalia gave when he was asked the question, how is it possible that he and Ruth were so close given their significant differences? And this is what he says, and I really want you guys to get it. I hope this is another one of the things that sticks in your brain, because it's brilliant. He says, I attack ideas, I don't attack people. Some very good people have some very bad ideas, and if you can't separate the two, you got to get another day job. Again, I attack ideas. I don't attack people. Some very good people have some very bad ideas, and if you can't separate the two, you need to get another day job. Now, of course, Scalia here is talking about his work of being a Supreme Court justice, but I think this wisdom is something we all need to begin to adopt. In that instead of attacking and hating those people because of what they believe, we need to realize that there's some very good and kind and well-intentioned people who have some bad ideas. And so instead of attacking or demonizing or making those people our enemies, we need to give ourselves to attacking and fighting against what they believe while at the same time choosing kindness when it comes to how we think about and treat those people who see the world so differently. Which, by the way, is something we do every single day if you're married, right? Why is it such a big deal in the political world and we make it work every day in our homes? That doesn't make any sense to me. So for me, this is what it can look like for us as Christians striving to do what God requires of us to be a part of the solution. Or to be the kind of people that don't get caught up in all that our politics has become, which is not working, you guys know. But instead become the light that God has called all of us to be. Because as you have now seen, it really is possible to be a people who stand for justice while at the same time being kind to everyone we encounter. Or maybe to see just how powerful this really is. Just imagine how much different our country, our world, and even our families would be if every Christian, while choosing to fight against bad ideas, also chose kindness towards those people who hold those ideas. Would that not make the world a better place? Would that not make your family? I know what's going on in families today. I got a crazy uncle too. I get it. What if we chose to live in that way? What if we saw that you really can be just and kind at the exact same time? Let us be the light, my friends. Let us not continue down this same path. It's not working. It's only getting worse. Let us be the light that shows everyone a new way forward. Let us pray. Father, again, we come to you, and again, this is one of those topics that makes everybody squirm. It makes me squirm standing up here trying to do it. But it is my hope that as we continue to make our way through this series, that you teach us what it is you actually want from us in the midst of this election, or how you're calling us not to continue down the same path that we're currently on because it's not working, but instead become the kind of people that while we continue to stand and fight for what we believe, we can be kind to those who disagree with us. Or instead of fighting and demonizing people because of the ideas they hold, Lord, let us to be a people who fight those ideas, but at the same time, learning how to love and be kind to those who see the world differently. Or help us, O Lord, not to be like the rest of the world anymore, but to become your light. Become the ones that show this country, this community, a better way forward. Lord, we pray all of this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless and have a great week.